Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Patrick Meaghan, a writer best known for his work on Family Guy and Titus, who was arrested and imprisoned earlier this month while participating in the Occupy LA protests at City Hall. He will tell us a story of his treatment at the hands of the LAPD that the mainstream press failed to report, and we will discuss the rough treatment those protesting the destruction of our economy get in contrast to the kid glove treatment of those who reap billions of profits while bringing economic ruination upon millions of their fellow citizens, who in turn bailed them out with taxpayer money that has rewarded Wall Street while Main Street languishes. Then we'll hear about the 10 Greediest Americans of 2011. Sam Pizzagatti, a veteran labor journalist and fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies, joins us to discuss his Hall of Shame list of America's greediest CEOs who get exorbitant paychecks and bonuses while laying off workers, cutting their benefits, squeezing their pay, and making them work longer for less. Then finally, we discuss the likelihood of the euro crisis resuming soon in the wake of a European summit that many analysts feel did not solve the problem but kicked the can down the road. Stephen Walt, a professor of international affairs at Harvard University, joins us to discuss the financial crisis that will not go away, and we'll also talk about his latest article at Foreign Policy, Five Potential Game Changers in International Diplomacy. Joining us now is Patrick Meaghan, a writer best known for his work on Family Guy and Titus. Earlier this month, while participating in the Occupy LA protest, he and others were arrested and imprisoned. He wrote about the experience at myoccupylaarrest.blogspot.com. Welcome to Background Briefing, Patrick Meaghan.
Thank you very much.
And there you were at 1 a.m. A couple of weeks ago reading Thich Nhat Hanh's Being Peace.
I was.
And you were then grabbed by LAPD officers. Weapons drawn, is that right?
Well, they had had their nightsticks out, and several of them had their guns that sort of issue, I guess they would be sort of like sandbag bullets or what have you.
Oh, I see. And then of course, you were pried loose from the circle of linked arms. Meanwhile,
yeah,
the officers were trashing all of your tents and ripping
them. Right. Well, the trashing of the tents came first. Anybody who was asleep in a tent at that time was awakened to police officers ripping their tents open with knives and then them forcibly pulled out of the tents, and then their, personal possessions would then be yanked out of the tents and sort of scattered across the ground. There were several people I was in jail with who said, yeah, I thought I was having a nightmare because I was asleep, and next thing I knew, my tent's being ripped open and people in riot gear are yanking me out of there. And this all preceded the arrests of the group of folks I was with, sort of around, sitting Indian style, peacefully and nonviolently around a tent, which is sort of the kind of like icon of the movement. Like I said, they pulled people out of the private tents, and then any sort of collective tents like the food tent or the health and wellness tent, for example, where they had been up until that moment treating anybody who needed free medical care, whether they were Occupy LA, activists or homeless people or, even a member of the LAPD, if they had wanted it, could receive free medical care at that tent. The LAPD commenced to just rip that to shreds and break the poles over their knees and let that scattered around. And what the mainstream media afterwards referred to as 30 tons of garbage, abandoned by the Occupy LA protesters was that. It was those objects, including my Thich Nhat Hanh book, taken from our hands and thrown across the park and left for maintenance workers to come afterwards and clean up while we were, marched away.
Well, Patrick Meaghan, one of the reasons why your blog took off so much and went viral was that, frankly, the press weren't there. They'd agreed, I take it, the mainstream media, to be corralled, and nobody was witnessing what was happening, right?
Well, that's exactly right. The LAPD announced ahead of time that only certain, hand-selected LAPD selected media outlets would be allowed to be present when they actually made the arrests. Every other media member who happened to be there was forcibly removed from the camp before any of the arrests took place. And so obviously the media members who remained were, essentially embedded media members. They were, they were beholden to the LAPD for, from my point of view at least, being given a media scoop that that their competitors didn't have. And so then, if they see somebody thrown right onto his face with his hands being held behind his back onto the cement, as happened to me, you know, if a media member saw that, he or she then had a choice between reporting that and making the LAPD look bad or going forward with whitewash, maybe is too strong of a term, but allowing the LAPD to continue to sort of massage the media in the way that they did. Also, my understanding is that those who were selected had to agree ahead of time not to reveal certain what the LAPD, I guess, called tactical methods that the LAPD used. So one of those tactical methods that I never saw reported in any sort of mainstream media was how they actually got the protesters to unlink. Of course, elsewhere and other such nonviolent protests, things like pepper spray have been used, and apparently that, you know, was considered to be too sort of like photogenic, and sort of viscerally horrifying, you know, a technique. So what they did with us, to anybody who refused to unlink, you know, while sitting there Indian style, is they forcibly pulled people's feet out, you know, extended their feet, and then would grab the protester's right foot and twist it all the way around until it was essentially sort of twisted backwards, and then sort of stomp a boot down on the insole of that bent backwards foot. And then they would take the protester's other foot, the left foot, and twist it all the way around the other direction and just keep twisting and twisting until the person, you know, just screaming in agony would let go of the protester to his or her right or left. So that was what was done instead of pepper spray. And I guess presumably pepper spray is supposed to be cruel and twisting people's feet in opposite directions is supposed to be humane and gentle. I don't know. But I didn't see that reported in any of the mainstream media, but I saw it with my own eyes, and it was terrifying. And, I mean, to me, it looked designed to terrify, and it worked on me. When they came to me, I decided I didn't want that sort of medieval torture treatment. I said that I would go peacefully and cooperatively.
But apparently that didn't do you any good because you were slammed to the ground and they stomped on your face.
You know, that's a mystery that maybe I'll take to my grave, not fully understanding. But I stood up and in fact, attempted to stand up at first just on my own to make their job as easy as possible, and was told, no, stay to your seat and, you know, on your bottom, and we'll lift you up when we're ready for you. And I said, okay, you make the call. You do whatever it is that you want. So they said, okay, we'd like you to scoot forward 3 feet on your bottom, which I did. And they kind of came in behind me and said, all right, on count of three, we're going to stand you up, which also then did happen. And I stood up and I moved my hands behind my back to accept the cuffs because, of course, I knew I was under arrest. And the police officer, for whatever reason, just grabbed my wrists and hyperextended them very quickly and rapidly and violently, wrenching my fingers down towards my forearms and sort of wrenching my wrists as far up towards my neck as it would go. I don't know what the intent was, but it hurt an incredibly huge amount, and I sort of involuntarily leaned away from, you know, what was occurring just because of the pain, and suddenly heard the police officer behind me yell, "He's resisting!" And that is when he then threw me face down into the pavement. And again, because my hands were being held behind my back, I had nothing to catch myself with, so I just landed right on my face, and the officer, you know, then dropped down with his knee right on the small of my back and started grounding my face into the pavement, yelling, he's resisting, as I was, you know, yelling, I'm not resisting, I swear to God, I'll do whatever you want. It hurts so bad, I'll do whatever you want, basically begging for mercy. And, you know, then they cuffed me, and that was sort of what it was like to be removed from that tent and cuffed.
Again, I'm speaking with Patrick Meegan, who's a writer best known for his work on Family Guy and Titus. Earlier this month, while participating in the Occupy LA protests, he and others were arrested and imprisoned, and he wrote about his experience at myoccupyLAarrest.blogspot.com. And then your zip cuffs were apparently so tight on you that you suffered nerve damage. Do you still have that nerve damage?
I do. Now, I should say, if you have to have any nerve damage in your hand, this is the one you want. I have full range of motion. It's just like this sort of tingling numbness, as if, if you've been Novocained, and then, you know, 4 hours later, your cheek still feels numb. Mm-hmm. It's like that. I mean, of course, now we're going on 10, 11 days later, but it's kind of like if I sat my hand down on a hot stove, you know, I wouldn't feel it, I suppose. But the doctor says it's the sort of thing that almost always heals itself within a few months. So it's again, if I had a choice of any sort of nerve damage in my hand to have, this is what I would want.
Well, I think Thich Nhat Hanh has gotten to you.
It's possible, I suppose.
Tell me about that. What happened, though, when after this, when you were all taken to the parking garage at Parker Center?
We were taken to the parking garage at Parker Center, and we were kept there on that parking garage. We were told to kneel. We all, of course, still had our hands cuffed behind our backs, because I guess, you know, we, as nonviolent seated protesters, we were considered to be incredibly dangerous. And it was about 7 hours there. We were initially told to kneel. As time went on, some of us were unable to maintain that kneeling position, so some of us sort of swung our seats out and kind of were on the side of our bottoms, or, you know, put our legs out. And the LAPD officers who were there didn't stop us from doing that, so I am grateful about that. But there were at least some of the protesters who were unable to sort of handle what was occurring, and one of the protesters crawled his way over to a garbage can and started just vomiting in it. He was very visibly ill, and then he was unable to hold himself up to that can anymore and sort of went down to the pavement and on his side and just started vomiting, and the police officers just sort of watched as he essentially vomited out and then passed out, and really at no point attended to him. But yeah, so that was our time for about 7 hours, and then around 9 a.m. we were finally put into cells and booked, and the charge was failing to disperse, which is a misdemeanor. And of course, for most misdemeanors, they don't, you know, if you roll through a stop sign, for example, that's a misdemeanor. It's relatively rare that if that happens to you, that the police officer smashes your vehicle, considers it therefore abandoned and has it destroyed by, you know, a maintenance crew, and then takes you off to jail and books you and puts you in a cell. But, you know, that's what happened to us. So we were considered to be, a sufficient hazard that we had to actually go in prison. But a $5,000 bail was set for us, and I was fortunate enough to be able to pay that that bail, but I quickly learned from my bail bondsman that although they set a $5,000 bail for us, the LAPD was then refusing to actually, or maybe a city attorney, I'm not sure, was refusing to actually accept that $5,000 bail, ostensibly because they were just so overwhelmed with the crush of us. So I asked, oh, because of this overwhelmingness, are they refusing to accept bail, you know, from any other person who's taken into LAPD custody today? So, nope, just you Occupy LA folks. So for the rest of that day, long into the night, if you were somebody who the LAPD picked up for murder or rape or something, if you qualified for bail, they would promptly and swiftly process that bail and send you on your way to streets of Los Angeles to do whatever it is you would then do. But if you had been caught sitting Indian style in the park after the police said not to, apparently you were considered enough of a danger that it was, you know, the city considered it worth its time and our tax money to house us in jail long into the night. And so that's where I was until about 2:30 a.m. the next morning, after about 25 hours. They finally started, in just dribs and drabs, ones and twos, accepting the bail money that they had, again, set 15, 17 hours earlier. They finally took my bail. And so I got to walk out of there around 2:30 in the morning. There were another 200 Occupy LA protesters who were not as lucky, couldn't afford the bail, and so they, in the city's infinite wisdom, decided to hold them for another two full days, which my understanding is that's the legal maximum the city can hold a human being on a misdemeanor charge before actually releasing him or her. So, and among those 200 people who, you know, were such a danger to society, they had to be held for those two full days, was a 79-year-old great-grandmother named Ruth Sarnoff, who was about seven over from me in the circle. I guess the city felt like it was worth our collective money to make sure that 79-year-old great-grandmothers are kept away from the more vulnerable of us out there on the streets.
Sir Patrick Meaghan, again, writer best known for his work on Family Guy and Titus, he was participating in the Occupy LA protest and was arrested and imprisoned along with others. And he wrote about his experience at myoccupyLAarrest.blogspot.com. Is this particular animus on the part of the LAPD, or is this business as usual? Because my impression was that the mayor and the council basically ordered the police to lay off for quite some time. And I have been down there and did a program from down there and talked to a lot of people down there. And in fact, some of them said that they had problems from street people and Crips and Bloods and others coming in and people grabbing their food, etc. So it seems like there was a long period of hands off. And is it possible that the police were just sort of frustrated and now they had their opportunity to vent?
Yeah, I suppose that's entirely possible. This is the first I had heard about Crips and Bloods. My church had gone down each Sunday for the last few weeks before the camp was shut down to deliver or to distribute sandwiches, and I'm sure some of the folks who got those sandwiches were probably homeless people, but from my church's point of view, that's good. That's a good thing.
Right.
It's entirely possible that the LAPD officers felt like, you know, they had some frustrations to take out. It's entirely possible that everything I just described, in fact, you know, if asked to, I would bet money that everything I just described is what is experienced by people who are arrested by the LAPD every single day, and I just only know about what happens to me, and what happens to me is what happened to me. And the honest truth is, like, I'm actually not all that angry about what happened to me, insofar as I volunteered to be arrested, and it was the choice that I made, and I willingly, you know, sort of accept sort of with my body what it is that the LAPD sort of had in store for me, and it wasn't fun. And if I could write down what my ideal 25 hours would be, it definitely would not have been that experience. But, I accepted that experience. My point of view in taking that experience is just sort of to draw, you know, what I consider to be, you know, the contrast between what happens to, you know, if you wish, lawbreakers like myself who sit in a park after the police say not to, and much more powerful, much more consequential lawbreakers who, you know, have participated in just sort of coordinated and extended acts of larceny that drained hundreds of billions of dollars into their coffers and drained trillions of dollars from our collective economy and really have ripped the social fabric of our country for, you know, the past 4 years and perhaps for a generation beyond. The people who have defrauded our nation in the fiscal sector are sort of spared the zip cuffs, and they're not thrown face first into the pavement. And I think that that's wrong. And so I'm not upset that I got arrested, and I'm not upset about what happened to me when I was arrested and jailed. I just wish that I had the good company of the folks I consider to be some of the real criminals.
Again, I've been speaking with Patrick Meighan, a writer best known for his work on Family Guy and Titus. Earlier this month, while participating in the Occupy Los Angeles protest, he and others were arrested and imprisoned. He wrote about the experience at myoccupyLAarrest.blogspot.com. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the 10 greediest Americans of 2011.